tell you what, man, I tell you, I just love the worship that we have in here on Sundays. It's just incredible. Sometimes it is just high energy and loud, and sometimes it's quiet and everywhere in between, and there's such freedom here to worship. Some of you may just want to stand and just bow your head, and some like to raise their hands and shout and clap and everything else, and there's freedom for both in here. And I tell you what, I enjoy the freedom of worship that we experience here at Genesis every single week, and I appreciate our team. Appreciate Sean this morning coming. You guys pray for Zach Thomas. He was out to travel with his wife this weekend, and I don't know if he was still able to go today, but he wound up going to the emergency room Friday night, chest pains and feeling faint and stuff. So they did a lot of tests Friday night and yesterday, and they said he's okay, his heart's strong and everything. But y'all pray for him. Some anxiety issues, bringing on hyperventilation and things like that. I'm sure some of you have experienced that type of stuff before. So y'all just pray for Zach, and hopefully he still got to travel, because I know they were planning on getting out of town for a couple of days, and just him and his wife, Daphne. So, but I tell you what, when you think about the country we live in, and I still believe we, you know, even with the issues we deal with, whether it's our economy's up or down, whether we're in a time of war like we are now, I still believe without hesitation we live in the greatest country on the planet. And I love my country. I love what we represent. Sometimes we fight amongst ourselves and stuff like that. But I tell you what I've really just always been proud of as an American is the fact that whenever freedom calls for a defender, we answer the call. And I love my country. Some of you have served in the military. Some of you are actively serving. And I appreciate you and I applaud you. And thank you for standing in on behalf of me and my family. We have the American dream, and people come from all over this planet to come to the United States because they want to experience what you and I get to experience every day, the freedoms we get to experience, the opportunities that we get to experience, the new challenges sometimes in the changing world that we live in and the changing culture, but at the same time, we get to experience the opportunity to make some of those decisions for ourselves. But I think what has happened many times is that we have taken the American dream and we have replaced it to identify with the Christian life. And I think sometimes, our goals in life are, well, I want to get a good education so I can get a good job and buy a good house in a good neighborhood, marry a good spouse and have good kids who go to a good school and take a good vacation now and then. I want a good 401k so one day I can retire and enjoy the good life. You know, I mean, sometimes we want things, you know, we want them good, we want to get good things and we want to do all this. And because of that, many times, well, we really restrict ourselves. We look and say, what is it that would be good for me right now? What is it that would be good for me today? What is it that would be good for me in the moment? And we think if good is happening to us, we have this mathematical formula that if good is happening to us, then surely God is pleased with us. And if good things are taking place in our life, then surely God must be on our side and everything's going well and it's all good. I mean, that's the way we look at life sometimes. But I think what happens, and I believe for you and for me this morning, I want to begin a series today for the next 3 weeks called Great. Because I think sometimes we are working and striving and sacrificing so much just to get the good when God says, look, I have something great for you. Don't worry about what's good. Let me tell you what's great. Let me reveal in your life what is great. Let me show you those things that I can do that are great. And I don't know about you, but I would give up good any day of the week to have great from God. I'm not talking about me being great and famous. I'm not talking about me achieving and accomplishing things. I'm talking about God showing up in my life Monday, Tuesday, not just on Sunday morning when I'm here, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I mean Saturday. You say you forgot about Wednesday. Well, sometimes we just try to forget about Wednesday because it's not quite close enough to Friday. But I'm telling you, I want the great. I want God to show up every day in my life. I'm not saying that every situation will be great. I'm not saying that everything that I find myself in will be great. I'm saying I want God to show up in a great way in my life. And I want to talk to you this morning about great. And I want to start with this first morning with great homes. Now, automatically, when you think I say great homes, you think, well, that only applies to married people. That only applies to people with families. No, it applies just as much to singles this morning, I promise you. I'm talking about great homes, and next week will be great sex. Every single one of you will be back next week. You'll be on these front rows with a legal pad this long. Yes, great sex. Well, and you know the third week what's going to come after that. And what comes after great sex but great kids. We're going to talk about great kids. You say, well, I don't have any kids. I promise you, you will not want to miss 2 weeks from today. I promise you. Because some of you are going to get freed up in 2 weeks from today. You really are. When we talk about great kids, Lord have mercy. I am truly believing the Word of God to make changes in our lives, in my life. Because long before I stand here, I can promise you, when I'm in the Word of God studying and preparing to speak, to preach, God's Word is working in my life. And sometimes I have to get on my face several times before I stand here. I can assure you that. But I want to talk to you this morning about great. And I want us to begin to look into 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Great homes, as I said, automatically makes you think of being married or having a family. But the reality is, it's more than just about a house. It's more than just about a building. It's about a person when you talk about great homes. Because a great home is made up of great people. And I want you, and I want to myself, but I want you to experience God's greatness in your life. I want you to see Him in a whole new way every day. I want you to experience His best for you every single day. Listen to 1 Peter in chapter 1, verse 13. Just read a handful of verses. Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I want to share with you one very simple, single truth this morning. One thing that I want you to understand this morning. One thing that I want us to see and to sink deep in our heart this morning. And that is that we need to restore holiness to our life. We need to restore holiness to our life. Now, automatically, when I use the word holiness, we tend to think of the myth that holiness is being holier than thou. That people that experience holiness in their life somehow act better than everybody else. Somehow they look down on everybody else. Somehow that by being holy that we are arrogant or prideful. But holiness is not that at all. What Peter is talking about, what Peter dives into in this letter that we call 1 Peter, is that he says that, look, because the God we serve is holy, because the God who called us is holy, that we ought to imitate His holiness, that we ought to desire holiness in our life. If we desire God in our life and He's holy, then certainly holiness is going to come with God. And as I said, it's not holier than thou. It's not sitting and looking down on people. As a matter of fact, true holiness, true purity, looks at others and says, they are far better off than me. True holiness is humility. True holiness says, I am going to separate myself. I'm going to set myself apart because I understand if I let myself go, I know the person that I would be without God. True holiness is not holier than thou. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It actually brings humility. But the thing that I want us to see this morning, in order to restore holiness in our life, we've got to do some things differently. Now, you know the old saying, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. And I don't know about you, but I get frustrated enough in life without making the same mistakes and getting the same results over and over. That eventually I figure out I'm smart enough. I mean, I'm not real bright, but I'm smart enough that if I've done something 2, 3, 4 times and it keeps bringing the same bad result and the same pain, that eventually I'm going to say, if that situation comes up again, I think I know what to do differently the next time. When Peter writes this letter, I love 1 Peter. 1 Peter talks about how our lives truly can be unique, how our lives truly can be different, how our lives truly can experience God's greatness in it. And if you and I are going to restore holiness to my life, then the first thing that we need to do is we need to start thinking differently. We need to think differently. Peter says, prepare your minds for action. Now, most of the times when we think action, especially, you know, being a man, when we think action, we tend to think get our bodies ready for action. You know, get that body in shape. Man, I saw a guy, I was at Munford Celebrate most of the day yesterday, as some of you were. I ran into some of you helped with Celebrate. But I saw a guy out there, he was walking around, I don't know who he was, didn't recognize his face, but that guy was huge. He was about 2 inches taller than me, his waist was about that big around, and his shoulders were that wide. He was carrying a big old MMA championship belt. I don't know who he was, but he was carrying a big MMA championship belt around. I'm figuring if you carry that thing around in front of thousands of people, you better be able to back it up. I mean, because you just don't carry one of those around lightly. But I'm telling you, that guy was huge. He was ripped. He was cut. And I thought, if anybody's body is ready for action, that guy's body is ready for action. But did you know Peter here says that if we truly want our life to be different, then the thing that we better prepare for action is right between our ears. We better start thinking differently. It is time to make some changes in the way you and I think about God and think about ourselves. And the old saying is, until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, we will never change. Let me say that to you again. Until the pain of staying the way we are, seeing things happen the way they're happening over and over again, sick and tired of those same results, until that pain becomes greater than the pain to make some changes, you will never change. I will never change. Peter says, prepare your minds for action. Your greatest battle, my greatest battle, is to see the great unleashed in our lives is in our own minds. That is the battlefield we have to fight on. That is where we have to begin. We have to start thinking differently about our situations. We need to start thinking differently about the situation in our life. And that may be, it may be your job. It may be your home, your family. It may be a friendship. It may be in your financial state. It may be, I mean, there's all these situations in our life that can cause us challenges and pain. But in those situations, we need to start thinking differently. First of all, I want you to understand this morning, if you don't hear anything else, do not miss this. You have hope. Hope. You have hope. Say that word with me. Hope. Say it. Hope. You have it this morning. There's an old Roman saying that says, if you're alive, you have hope. And we translate that and say, well, if I'm still breathing, there's still a chance for me. I still have hope. And I'm telling you this morning, you have hope, not just because you're alive, but because God is alive and well. Because God is powerful. Because He is great. And He can work in your life. He can work in my life to make changes that you and I could never do on our own. And I'm telling you, Peter says that you have hope. Listen to what he says a little bit earlier in 1 Peter 1. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this statement. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. I am so glad that not only because I'm alive, there's hope. I'm so glad that because God has worked in my life, I know that no matter what my situation looks like today, that I have hope. You know what? Peter is called the apostle of hope. He is. He's called the Apostle of Hope. And when you read 1 and 2 Peter, he is really energetic. He is really excited. He uses exclamations and lots of... He makes great big bold statements, and he's kind of out there with it. And he restores hope. Paul is known as the Apostle of Faith. And John is known as the Apostle of Love. Because when you read their letters, when you read their writings, you hear these strong themes coming out. Well, when you read 1 and 2 Peter, do you know what comes out over and over again? The word hope. I love it. I love to read 1 and 2 Peter because it reminds me that no matter what the situation is, that there is hope. He mentions it over and over again. In this letter, we not only need to think differently about our situation. Let me tell you something. I want to stop on this one for a minute. You and I need to start thinking differently about ourselves. You need to think differently about yourself. You say, "What do you mean?" Some of you, and I know this, and you may never admit it, but some of you look in the mirror and you can't stand that person that's reflected in that mirror. You don't like them, or you're trying real hard to get everybody else to like that person you see in the mirror every morning. And you need to start thinking differently about yourself. Let me tell you something this morning. You are valuable to God. You say, "What?" You are valuable to God. As a matter of fact, I want to show you how valuable you are to God. Listen to 1 Peter 1:18, a little bit further down than I read. He says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers." Listen to verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ." He says, money couldn't set you free from sin. Gold, silver, material goods, all the wealth and power this world has to offer could never set you free from sin and from death to set you free to live the life that God has in store for you. He says you need to start thinking differently about yourself. You are valuable to God. Consider for a moment that the price that was paid for your soul and for my soul. God has placed a value on you. And guess what? It's not based on your performance. Every other area and every other relationship in your life and in my life usually is dictated by our performance. If I am good to this person, they'll be good to me. If I'm mean to that person, they'll be mean to me. If I gossip about that person, they'll gossip about me. If I am just extra nice to somebody, they'll probably be nice to me. Every relationship that you and I experience day in and day out is usually based on our performance. Your relationship to God is not based on your performance. It's not based on my performance. It's based upon the finished work of Jesus on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That is what it's based on. And when you think about the awesome, incredible price that God paid for you and for me, then suddenly you realize you are valuable, that God values you simply because you are His. Now, I have two children. I have a 20-year-old and a 7-year-old. One is fixing to leave in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, for South Africa for 10 months. The other is in second grade for the next 10 months. Vastly different. And I value those two kids. I'm excited about my daughter going to South Africa. I'm excited just as much, though, about my son going to Drummond's Elementary during the week. I value my children. You have children. You know what I'm talking about. Many of you do. You do things and you make sacrifices for your kids. You do things for them because you love them. And it's not based upon anything other than the fact they're yours. Did you know God has done the same thing for you? He placed a high value on you. You look in the mirror, you don't like that person. You wish you could change that person. But I want you to look in that mirror today in the morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and I want you to look in that mirror and say, that's someone God loves. And it doesn't matter how I perform, how good this day was, how bad this day was. That person in the mirror is someone that God loves, that He has sacrificed His Son for, that He paid an incredible price for. I love Psalm 49:10. Psalm 49:10 says, "The redemption of their soul is precious." The redemption of a soul is precious. And that word precious means that it has a high, high cost. Almost an incalculable cost. And when you think about the price that was paid for you, the price that was given for you in the form of Jesus on the cross, it was a value that was incalculable. God bankrupted heaven to purchase you. And to purchase me. You are valuable to God. You need to start thinking differently about your situation. You need to start thinking differently about yourself. But lastly, you need to start thinking differently about your life. Your life is sacred. Your life is sacred. Every aspect of it is considered to be sacred. Peter says in chapter 1, verse 17, just right there between those verses I read, he says, "Listen, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear." The word strangers is used over and over here. It is time for you and for I to start seeing our life as set apart. When he says to live as a stranger, he means that your life is different, that your life is set apart. That your life is special. It has eternal value and meaning behind it. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you. God intends to work in your life. He is at work behind the scenes. Before you ever got here this morning, God was at work behind the scenes in your life. Some of you are here this morning because God has been doing some things in your life the last month, the last week, the last 2 or 3 months, that some things are just being stirred up, and you just look back and you go, man, just so many things happening at once. You are here this morning because God is at work behind the scenes in your life. It's time to start thinking about your life a little bit different. It's, you know, when I was a kid, my mom, anything that was precious, maybe it was some little thing that she got as a gift from someone, or something she's had for a long time. Maybe it was old and an antique or something like that, a family heirloom. I always noticed that whatever was real valuable got put up on a little bit higher shelf. Not to say I was destructive or anything like that, but I'm serious. It seemed like whenever there was something really valuable that was sitting around that was decoring our home, it got put up a little higher or on a little surer foundation. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we have all these safety things, you know, as far as taking care of our kids and child-proofing our homes and stuff. Man, when I was a kid, they'd stick like a 20-inch TV on a TV tray or something like that. I mean, it just didn't matter. But I noticed that anything that was valuable was a little bit higher reach. It was up on a little bit higher shelf to keep it out of the hands, little hands that might break it, that might tear it down, that might disassemble it. Never mind, I was a mechanic for 15 years. But I'm serious. There's some things in your life, and you need to start looking at your life, and you and I need to start thinking about our life a little bit differently. We need to start elevating that life just a little bit. We need to start putting it up on a little higher shelf. It's a little bit more sacred than you realize. That life that you and I'm telling you, I was 22 years old when I gave my life to Christ. One of the biggest regrets I have was that I did not give my life to Him sooner. I think about all those wasted years. I think about as a teenager, the way I lived, and as a young man, and all the things that I did and the choices I made that I wish I could go back and change. And I think about those years that were wasted. I'm telling you what, if I could go back now, I would go back to when I was a little kid, give my life to Him, so that my life would have been set up on a little higher shelf, that it would have been treated with a little more sacredness, that it would have been treated as a little bit more special. And you and I need to do the same thing today. We need to start thinking, you know what, my life, whether it's my job, whether it's my family, whether it's my friends and my relationships, whether it's my hobbies, whether it's what I do with my time, what I do with my money, all of these things should start to take on a little bit more sacred nature. That is what holiness is about. It's about thinking about your life a little bit differently. Say, you know what? God has a plan in my life. God not only has this big plan across the globe and across this planet, but He also has a plan in my life. Maybe I need to treat it a little bit better. Maybe I need to treat my life, everything about me, as a little bit more special. And I say that because you know what I'm talking about. You've done it. I've done it. We have many times abused the weeks, the months, and the years of our life, wasting it on nothing. And we're sitting here this morning going, man, I wished I could have that back. I wished I could have that few years back. I wished I could have those couple of months back. I wished I could have that one night back. I'm telling you, bury that. Leave it alone. God can redeem that. God can restore it. My son, his name's Corbin. His middle name is Joel. And the reason his middle name is Joel is because I was going through Joel devotionally when we found out we were, I wasn't pregnant. Man, she did all the work, trust me. But when we found out she was pregnant, I was going through Joel devotionally. And Joel is a very short book. I encourage you to read it sometime. It's very powerful, minor prophet in the Old Testament. It's not minor because it's not important. It's minor just because it's short in length. It's brevity. But Joel starts out the first chapter or two and talks about all the things, how the people of God have turned their back on God, how they've just continued to ignore him, despite he did all of these things for them to display his love, but they still just kind of ignored him and did their own thing. And he said, look, there's going to come a judgment against you. He said, I'm going to bring the Babylonians in. And he said, they are going to desolate your land. They're going to take you into captivity. They're going to take you into slavery and into bondage because of your sin. But when you think all hope is lost, you get to the end of Joel. He talks about how that the Babylonians are going to be like a swarm of locusts, and they're going to strip everything. Just like locusts eat every living thing, every green thing, everything that's beautiful and has life in it, the locust just consumes it. He said, just like those locusts consume everything, he said, the Babylonians are going to consume you till you waste away to nothing. And just when you think all hope is lost, Joel 2:25, God says, but you know what? There's going to come a day I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. And I was going through Joel devotionally when we found out we were pregnant. Gosh, I said it again. I love my kids, but I was going through Joel devotionally, and I told my wife, I told Jody, I said, I want his middle name to be Joel, because when I was going through Joel devotionally, I was thinking about all those years I wasted, ignoring God, just wasting my life, just doing nothing of any importance. And God stepped in and spoke through his word and said, you don't worry about those wasted years. I can restore them. I can redeem them. I can bring them back. I can raise them up out of the ashes. And I can do something great in your life. I can transform what you see as regret, as you see as pain, and I can make something beautiful out of it. You see it as chaos, and I can bring order, and I can bring hope, and I can bring healing, and I can restore you. And God started changing the way I started thinking about my own life. And I finally had to realize, and I have to do it every day, that you know what? The choices I make today, the things that I do today, they have eternal consequences. They have consequences in my life, in my wife's life. They have consequences in my children's life. They have consequences in my friend's life. The decisions that I make, I need to start elevating my life and say, you know what? God says I'm sacred, not because I'm good. God says my life is sacred, not because I can perform well. God says my life is sacred because I'm His. He loves me. He's displayed His love on me through the cross. And because of that, I need to raise my life up to another level. You need to start changing the way you're thinking. Raise your life to another level. It is time to get up out of the ashes. It is time to rise up and be the man of God, the woman of God that He has called you to be, that you are capable of being through His power and through His Spirit. It's time for some teenagers to live the life that God has called you to live. I'm telling you what, it is time to experience God's greatness in our life. I'm tired of the old. I'm ready for the new. I'm tired of the good. I want God's great and best in my life, and I hope you do too. Start changing the way you think about your situation, about yourself, and about your life. We need to think differently. It is time to elevate it and raise it to the top shelf where it belongs, where God says you are. Man. I'm telling you, you need to start thinking differently. You need to start living differently. Boy, I'm going to stay short on this one because I'll get all over myself if I don't. Listen to what Peter says in verse 14. He says, as obedient children. You got children? I need to say not much more. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. What he's saying there is, he says, look, don't conform to those old decisions you used to make when you used to be without Christ. When you didn't know Him, man, I make enough bad decisions as a Christian, but I remember the stupid things I did apart from Christ. Lord, I look at some of the decisions I made and I think, what in the world was I thinking in that moment? I mean, because you know, years kind of dull your memory a little bit, I think. At least that's what I was told. I can't remember. But here's the deal. We start thinking about those decisions and we go, wow. What kind of frame of mind was I in to do that? I mean, we think about that. And we need to start living differently because Peter says, look, he says at one time you lived in ignorance. He said, but you can't use ignorance as an excuse anymore if you know Christ. Gosh, I missed that. I can't claim ignorance anymore. Well, I just didn't know. Yeah, I know now. And he says, because you know now, you need to start living differently. Listen to verse 15. He said, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. That last statement doesn't leave anything out, does it? In all you do, he says, you need to start living differently. We go back to what I said at the beginning. We got to start doing some things differently. If you and I are ever going to experience the great in our life, at some point, we'll have to start making some choices in the way we're living. At some point, you're going to have to make some choices and start changing some things. Doing the same thing over and over has gotten us where? We've wound up at the same destination. It's time to start doing some things differently. You and I, well, I mean, I want you to look at not just the long terms. Well, I just need to get in college or I need a new job. Yeah, maybe you do. You need to have a long-term vision. Do you know the reason I'm standing right here right now? That God put the burden on my heart to plant Genesis here? Do you know why? Because a very dear friend of mine looked at me, called me on the phone week after week and said, Bodie, you need to start looking long-term. He said, you're doing great in the short term, but you're not looking down the road at where God wants you and what God wants to do in your life. He says, you need to start looking at a long-term vision about the decision. He says, you look down the road just a little bit and you'll start living differently today. He said, when you start getting a bigger vision for your life, when you start thinking and living differently, you'll start living differently. He says, when you look at what God wants you to do in the long term, he said, you'll make some decisions today that'll change your situation. You'll make some changes in your life today that will have impact down the road, and I'm standing here, and I'll tell you, I went back to it. Actually, he called me back. That man still wears me out on the phone. I'm surprised he hadn't called me while I've been standing here, other than the fact that he's sitting in his pulpit preaching. But I'm telling you, he calls me relentlessly. He is faithful to me as a friend, as a co-pastor. He has invested. His church has invested in this church. He believes in the vision that God has placed in our hearts here. And I'm telling you what, to see the people that are sitting here, I loved it. Last Sunday, we had Real Heroes Day. We had 110 visitors here. We had an opportunity to bless some folks, to let some folks know that God loves them, that we appreciate them. We honored them. And by honoring them, we honored God that we serve. And we saw, I'm telling you what, there was a tremendous number of people. But I'm going to tell you what the greatest joy was last Sunday for me. As a pastor, it was awesome. I walked around celebrate yesterday and some folks walked up to me and said, hey, we just want to tell you thank you. Tell your church thank you. We had two cards in the mail this past week from two different fire departments and a police department that said thank you, thank you, thank you for what you did. And you know what my greatest joy was? It was not all the people. I mean, obviously, it was great seeing all those people in here to know that in G Kids and in the nursery, there were 43 kids over there. Praise Jesus. There were only 54 people here last December 12th when we launched. And we had 43 last Sunday in children's ministry and in the nursery. Praise God for that. But I want to tell you what my greatest joy was standing out there in the lobby after that service, talking to some of those people, and standing around and telling a couple of you that are sitting here right now, I said, you know what the greatest thing about this is? I said, 6 months ago, some of the people that are serving this morning were not in church anywhere. I said, 6 weeks ago, a couple of them wasn't even saved. And they are here serving in the house of God this morning. Their lives are being changed. They are living differently because God has changed their way of thinking and their way of living. I'm telling you, Peter says it in the second chapter. He says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. He said, start making some changes in your decisions. Some of you are already pretty strange, so it wouldn't be that much of a stretch for you. But he says, just like an alien would come to our planet. Except he was referring to somebody from a different country, but you know, we have all this alien mentality. But if somebody came from a different planet and had like four eyes and I don't know, just had, you know, three arms and I don't know. I mean, you would see, wow, they're strange. He said, look, some of the decisions you are making, the way you're living, he says, you need to start living a little bit different, making some changes, making some decisions that are a little bit different, so much so that it looks a little unusual and a little strange to the people around you. Now, I can be pretty strange myself most of the time. I'm telling you, we need to live differently. We need to live differently. We need to live with that big vision picture in mind. What is it that you see that God has for you a year from now, 2 years, 5 years from now? Then you know what you do? When you start focusing on that, when you get your focus off the negative, off the past, off the things you can't change, and you start focusing on what is it that God has for me right here, then you know what's going to happen? These decisions and these days prior to it, they're going to start changing. You're going to start living differently and thinking differently. Lastly, if we want to see God's great, you say, what does this have to do with our homes? I'm going to tell you in just a moment. We need to also love differently. That gets closer to home. Trust me. Peter says in verse 22 and 23, listen to what he says. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. He says, for you have been born again. He says, you know the way you used to love? It was conditional on how that person treated you. He said, you know the way you used to love that was conditional about how you, your emotions, or just how you felt for the moment? He said, you've been born again from that. He says, now you're made new. Now that you're living differently. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. He says, love one another deeply from the heart. And the picture of here, of course, is Christ's love. The picture is that the love that God has for us, he said, that's the way we should love one another. That's the way we should treat one another. It means to love sacrificially. I won't sing this one, but I wouldn't sing anyway, but I sure wouldn't sing this one. There's an old song, you know, man, I just keep telling my age every time I mention movies and music by a group called Nazareth, of all things. Love hurts. Man, I can remember some stupid days, just torment over lost love, or I don't know, but singing that, oh, love hurts. Oh, man. I might try out for the worship team next Sunday, Jim. I don't know. Can you believe, I wish he was here to back me up on this. Can you believe I used to sing in a choir? I can't sing. I don't know what I thought I was doing. But I guess I was just standing up there, you know, the tall guy in the back. You got to love even when it hurts. It can't be based off your feelings. It can't be based off the emotions of the moment anymore. It can't even be based off of how others treat you. He said, love each other deeply from the heart. You know, I told you earlier that John's called the prophet of love. If you read 1 John, you can pick up on it just like that. As soon as you read 1 John, you know why he's called the prophet of love. Listen to one of the statements he makes in 1 John 3:16. He said, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He said, that's how we know what real love is. Not this we see on TV, we hear on the radio and songs, we see in the movies. He said, real love is that Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. That is real love. That is what genuine love looks like. In order for us to love differently, that's the way we have to start loving others. That's not only the people in our family and our friends, but even the people that we just don't really like. We got to love them too, because they probably don't like you. So you might as well love them. Somebody got to share the love. I'm telling you, we have got to start loving differently. We have got to treat each other with honor, with respect, with dignity. Love even when it hurts, because it cost Him everything to love us. And it might cost you and I to love differently. We might have to overlook some things that might, you know, I'm telling you what, you give up your rights to be offended when you become a Christian. You give them up. Because it says that we are dead in our sins. That we have been bought with a price. We are no longer ourselves, but we belong to God. I don't know about you, but most dead men I know don't have any rights. And the picture in the Bible about slavery says, look, they don't have any rights. We are bought. You have been purchased with the royal blood of heaven. You belong to Him now. You belong to Him. You are part of His family. And He says, look, you can't love the same way you used to, that's conditional upon performance and emotions. You got to start loving differently, the way Jesus loved, sacrificially and loved sincerely. Not just with our mouths. We have to show it in tangible ways. That's the one that's hard. Say, oh, I love you, babe. I love you. I'd give anything for you. I'd give up anything for you. It's a whole lot easier for those words to come out of our mouth than it is to change the way we live our life and show it in tangible ways. Starting next week, next Saturday, matter of fact, starts birthday week for my wife. Her birthday is September 28th, and every year for her birthday, I give her birthday week. It's her birthday for an entire week. I give her something every day. I do something special. I can assure you I will not be able to top last year. God gave me a vision for last year. I went over the top. Some of you sitting here, a handful of you in here, actually helped me pull it off last year. But for her birthday, I also told you, for her age, she doesn't care. But for her birthday, she and I eloped. And the reality was we had lived together for 9 months. We were not Christians then. You know, dated a little time, a couple months, moved in together, lived together. Finally, March 10th, 1989, we just got in an argument, middle of the argument. I said, will you marry me? She said, blankety blank, no. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, then it's over. It's done. And she said, okay, I'll marry you. So we got up the next morning, went to the courthouse and got married. So my wife never had a wedding. So last year for her birthday, I threw her a wedding as a surprise. In the park there in Munford. And it was incredible. It was special. It was over the top. I made sure that all the details were covered. And like I said, there's some of you in here that helped me with it. And I appreciate it greatly, because you gave me an opportunity to show my wife in a tangible way my love for her. I mean, people, especially men, give me a hard time about doing birthday week because it makes them look bad. And I say, well, number one, you got to step up your game. I said, number two, you don't know what she puts up with the other 51 weeks of the year from me. I have to show her in tangible ways that I love her. If you and I are going to love differently, we have to show it in tangible ways that people can see it, that there's no argument about it. And in order to do that, we got to start doing things differently. John, refer back to him again, 1 John 3:18 said, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions. And in truth, deeply from the heart. You got to think differently. When you start thinking differently about your life, about your situation, and about yourself, you'll start living differently. When you start living differently, your life suddenly starts changing. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to start loving differently. Suddenly, you're going to make sacrifices for the benefit of others that you never thought you would before. You're going to start making decisions that says, you know what, I'm putting off the pleasure of the moment. I'm putting off the short term because I've got a long-term vision. I got a long-term goal for my life. That's what you need to have. If you want to experience the great home, and whether you're by yourself in your home, or whether you're like the Duggars and there's 22 of you, your home will increase and change when you and I change. When we start seeing our life as great. When we say, you know what? I'm not going to be satisfied with the pleasure of this moment. I want to experience God's great. Can you imagine if God is capable of great, and He is, can you imagine what great would look like in your life? I want to see that, and I hope you want to see that too. Let's bow our heads. God, You do have something great in store for us. Lord, for many of us, we've already experienced Your great. But Lord, help us to understand this morning and realize that process, that journey begins with a foundation of a relationship with You. Lord, it's no accident or coincidence that Peter would speak hope into our life when he was the very one who denied You on the night of Your arrest 3 times and experienced his most painful failure in his life. But then he saw his life restored by You. And because of that, he could speak hope into our lives these hundreds of years later, Lord, as we read the letter he wrote to believers everywhere. God, Your word still speaks to us through 1 Peter. God, and reminds us that it all centers and focuses on the foundation of a relationship with You through Jesus Christ. Father, help us to understand, Lord, amid the distractions, help us to understand that there's nothing more important here this morning than knowing that we are in a right relationship with You. God, many times we strive for all those things we think will make our life better, make our life good. And then when we get them, they never turn out quite like we plan or like we think. But God, help us to know and be assured this morning that when we lay the foundation of a relationship with You, God, it's not that everything just falls into place. It's that we are given a new vision, a new hope in our lives. You are giving us a new plan, a new course, a new journey, a new purpose, a new beginning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around, maybe that's you this morning. You say, I need a new beginning with God. I need to experience a new beginning in my life. Don't lose one more night's sleep over the past anymore. You can't change it. Instead, look to God to redeem it, restore it. Look to God who says, I can give you a future and a hope. Maybe that's you this morning, and you need to lay that foundation of a new beginning with God. And I would challenge you all over this room, just begin to pray to Him. Just pray quietly to Him. Just say, oh God, I know that You love me. I know that You have a plan for my life. God, I'm so sorry I have turned my back on You. Forgive me of my sin. God, give me a new hope. Change me today. God, the best way I know how, I give my life to You. Thank You, God, for hearing my prayer. Thank You, God, for saving me this morning. Now, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, point you out or anything. But if you prayed that very simple prayer or something like it, and you ask God for a new beginning today to give you a new life, I promise you, on the authority of God's word. Everything you ever thought, ever said, ever done, gone, wiped away. A brand new start this morning. A new beginning for your life. You pray that prayer this morning. Did you mean it? I want you to do me a favor. Just slip your hand up all over this room. Say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer. I asked God to give me a new beginning this morning. I'm not ashamed of it. Just raise your hand right now. Anyone at all. Maybe you didn't pray that prayer, but you know you need to. You know you need to. We have service pastors standing here on this platform, ready to pray with you and encourage you. Maybe you just got some burdens, some things going on in your life. You just need somebody to come alongside you and pray with you, believe God with you. We want to do that this morning. I'll pray with you, or we have service pastors staying right here that would be glad to pray with you as well. Just all over this room, I'm asking you, begging you, respond to God this morning. You say, Bodie, I didn't pray that prayer, but I know that I need to. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up. Say, I didn't pray that prayer, but I know that I need to. Just raise your hand right now. God bless you.